Hi there, Bridge family worldwide. It's my blessing to come to you today from the mission field down in sunny Florida, where our family has gathered, and due to some storms, we've had an extended stay. But make no mistake, every time we come together and we're united, we are gathered for the glory of God, and we are gathered by the grace of God as one family with one faith and one focus. Amen and amen. So it doesn't matter where we are physically when we are united spiritually, and that unification comes through the grace of God and for the glory of God. Whether you find yourself right now in India, Uganda, Kenya, China, Nepal, North America, South America, or anywhere else in the world, know that you are with a family that loves the Lord and loves sharing His truth in love all over the world. Friends, I want to ask you as we begin, regardless of where you are, if you can think of a time where you've recently perhaps come to grips with the fact that you've taken someone or something that you love for granted. Can you think of a time where perhaps your heart has been arrested? Maybe you've felt convicted because you've come to grips with the fact that you have in fact taken someone or something that you love for granted. I want you to think about that long and hard. It's a focal point for our time together in God's Word today. I pray that as we see something that we've probably seen hundreds of times before, if we're familiar with our Bible, if we've been in the church context and culture for a while, many of us will say, oh yeah, I've seen and heard that all the time. And I think, if you're anything at all like me, that you may find yourself saying today, wow, yeah, I think I've been taking that for granted. Something that is truly breathtaking, I've been taking it for granted. And by the grace of God, and as you'll see again, for the glory of God, I pray that we'll all be refined and refreshed today as we press into God's Word. For that outcome, that heart's desire, would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much that I get to lead and feed a family that is truly desirous of your word, your will, and your way. Lord, show us today how we can grow into greater Christ-likeness in part by seeing something that we may have looked past or taken for granted for far too long. I thank you, Lord, for how clear your word is and how straightforward you seek to lead and guide your people. Help me, I pray today, Lord, to be a helper, and help each one within the sound of my voice to hear first your truth. And in that truth, may they hear your love. And may they do it with the supernatural help of your Holy Spirit, so that all of us can be more harmonized and more holy in your likeness. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, friends, let me just remind you, or let you know if you've not been with us, that we're in the book of 1 Peter. We're continuing on with our sermon series entitled, No Matter What. And if you have been with us, you know that we've been going at a blazing speed. We're now in week 6, and we're going to crack into verse number 3 of chapter 1. Now, if that sounds a little odd to you, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to or watch the previous sermons, because I promise you, we have not gone too slowly. In fact, if anything, I think an argument could be made that we've not slowed down enough. I hope today is going to be a point that will show you that. But with that said, let me just give you a word of encouragement. We're in 1 Peter. That means we're looking at Peter's first letter, first epistle, the book of 1 Peter. And we've already noted, for those of you that haven't been with us, that Peter is arguably one of, if not the Bible's most encouraging personality. Why? Because we've seen a guy who has so many warts. He failed so badly, so many times, and over and over and over again, we've seen the love and the mercy and the grace and the power and the promise and the purposes of Jesus the Christ, the living God, in and through Peter. We noted that Peter is all of our great encouragers. He's a tremendous encouragement to all of us because all of us could and should be able to see ourselves in Peter. And I say that especially to those of you who have come to Christ and who may not think that you're quite good enough to answer the call that he's given you, or you may think that you've somehow stumbled too often or too badly to be used of God. Let me remind you, the same Peter who walked on the water in faith with Jesus, who shortly thereafter sank out of a lack of faith, is the same Peter who denied Christ three times, who is the same Peter who was reinstalled, reinstated, who was restored three times. You see, don't focus on the Peter of this relationship. Focus on the Christ. And in so doing, be encouraged. Now, we've seen through the first two verses that there's a whole lot here, a lot more than what many would say is just the greeting or the introduction. No, we've seen the miraculous work of God who turns Simon's into Peter's, who is the Christ, the one and only Messiah, Jesus, and who turns ordinary stumblers like Simon into powerful preachers and people of God like Peter, like you and me, Christian. We've seen that we can learn from the land if we'll embrace what God is teaching us and showing us through the fifth gospel, the biblical landscape and the geography that teaches us. We've seen that God himself is the giver of all good things. And last week in particular, we focused on the gift of peace and grace. Oh, friends, don't miss that. If you do, you won't understand the fullness of today's passage. But that's what we're going to do. Today, we're going to build on where we've been. We're going to open up verse number 3 of chapter 1. And I pray you'll see as we literally only take in the first 3 Greek words. It turns into 4 English words, but it's 3 Greek words. That's where we're going to go today. So we've seen already that it's our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel that changes people like Simon into people like Peter. And people like Peter, who once they are filled with the Spirit, like every true Christian is today, has the power to prevail, who has the power of the promise of the living God, who has the ability to bring God glory by finding and growing more glorifiers. You see, it's in verse number 3 where our text is for today that opens up this way. Remember, it was in the last message we saw the prayer, the intercessory prayer, may God's grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now the next sentence, new sentence, begins this way. Blessed be the God. That's our text for today. Those are the first words of verse 3 in chapter 1. Blessed be. Now, those two words are one Greek word. Blessed be the, it's a definite article. That's a component of grammar that is very important. Blessed be the God, capital G. Very, very important to recognize who and what we're talking about. So what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to look at what, who, and how. What does blessed be the God mean? What does that mean? Who, that's the next question, who gets the blessing? Blessed be the God. Well, who gets this blessing? And then we'll finish with how. How does this all come together? So let's first take a look at blessed be. Blessed be. Now, some of you may recognize this term blessed. Let me ask you, how often have you asked God to bless you? How often have your prayers involved the request for blessing? Blessing yourself, blessing your loved ones. Well, let me ask you this. When was the last time that your prayer life involved you asking God to help you to bless God? You say, hang on there, Pastor Jeff. I think you're getting the relationship reversed here. And I would say to you, that's exactly why we're slowing down today. When was the last time you asked God to bless you by helping you to bless God? In fact, the big idea for today's message, the big idea, the timeless truth, I pray you'll see it's going to unfold right before your very eyes out of the Word of God. Being, our being blesses God. Our, if you're a Christian, Bridge family, our being blesses God. You watch and you tell me when we're done if this isn't something that is painfully clear. Again, perhaps like me, you'll feel a little convicted on the other side of this message, realizing that you've taken someone you love for granted. Oh, you've embraced and thanked him for the blessings that he gives to you, perhaps. But when was the last time you asked him to bless you by helping you to bless him? I don't do that nearly enough. And I pray that after this focus, after this study, after this message, that will change for both me and for you. Blessed be the God. When you hear this, blessed be, we'll press into this a little bit here. I want you to think about not the holy harmony that we tend to think of. If you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, if you read Matthew chapter 5 and you read what we call the Beatitudes, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, and you see all the blessings that God gives to those who live with different Christ-like attributes. We see, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the persecuted. That blessing, that word blessed, it's not the same as what we have here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That's why I'm slowing down. In Matthew 5, the blessed are, that word is makarios in Greek. It means a certain holy harmony. It means that those who are living this Christ-like way will be blessed with a peace, a fullness, a rest in Christ, the gift of God that comes to those who are living truly Christ-like no matter what. That's a wonderful thing, and it's a true blessing. But the word we have here in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it is not that makarios, blessed. No, it's a word that has at its root the same that we have in the sharing of the gospel, the euro. It's the root word from which in English we get eulogy. This blessed be means to have an action with an attitude. Okay, blessed are those who are persecuted. That's makarios. They're going to be blessed with a holy harmony. Here, what we have instead is an action and an attitude. Blessed be. This is saying that those that would speak this formula of blessing are going to take action with an attitude to bring the blessing to God. The only place and the only way this word blessed be is used in the New Testament is to our living God. So blessed be here is a commitment to bring glory to our God. It's to make known that holy uniqueness that is the true biblical God. Blessed be, may he be lifted up. It's a reference to praise. It's a reference to worship. It's a reference to bringing God glory. It's putting him on display. It's being a witness whose worship and work and walk says, this God of mine, this true God of the Bible, he is to be blessed. He is to be known. He is to be exalted. He is to be lifted up. Everything in my being is designed to bring him glory. Now, I want you to think about this. And again, I just want to give you some more context. If you go, for example, and I want you to see this all straight from God's word. In fact, I pray today is going to be a day where we connect a lot of dots. You're going to see, perhaps in a new way, a description of what I call myself, which is that of a biblical simplist. We're just going to let the word of God speak for itself. The God of the word speaks through the word of God. And when you see and understand, for example, let's just start with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which says all of scripture is God breathed. And it's here for the express purpose of teaching, correcting, perhaps rebuking if needed, and for equipping the saints of God for all the works of righteousness that he has prepared for them. So in short, by going to the scriptures or coming back to the scriptures or staying in the scriptures, we know that we're always dealing with the authority of Almighty God in all matters, all the time. So we're going to look at this idea of blessed be. If you go to, for example, to Psalm 103, 104, 105, you're going to see what is perhaps the most famous and the most recognized places where this is called out, where we see it literally jumping off the page. Blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You see, this is a biblical portrait. David gives us Psalm 103, not 104, but in 103, 104, 105. You'll see it again in Psalm 145. These are express calls for us, humanity, for those that know this living God, to bless him with all of who we are. To say, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's to say, literally, as he goes on to say, and all that is within me. It's to bless the Lord. It's to praise. It's to worship. It's to lift up. It's to extol. It's to tell the world with all that you are, not just what you do, but who you are, with all of who we are. This again points us back to being the aroma of Christ, being the ambassadors for Christ, being the light of the world as we reflect the light that is Christ, who is the light of the world. This is what it is to bless the Lord, to bless the God. The God. This is not bless a God. This is not bless gods. This is bless the specific triune God of the Bible. The God that we've already met in verses 1 and 2. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one true biblical triune God. And here you'll see next week when we shift from what is here today, the what, the who, and the how. Next week we're going to focus more on the how and the why. But you see here that this is a call to bless the Lord with all of who we are. And all you have to do, again, is go back to the Word of God. I want to encourage you, go to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. You'll see God tells us that all that he has created, especially humanity, we were created for the purpose of bringing God glory. Blessed be the God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless him for who he is. Again, I don't want to get into next week. We'll get there. But just see here, this is a command to bless the Lord. This is the essence. Again, it's in our design. It's in our DNA. It should be at the core of our discipleship. It's not about going to church. It's coming to Christ. It's not about learning the culture and the ways of church. It's coming to the Creator and recognizing and being a humble part of his creation, who says, wow, bless you, oh Lord, that you would allow me the breath of life, that you would allow me. If you're hearing this message, you're hearing the truth and love of the gospel. You're hearing the truth and love of the living God. Think about that gift that he's given. Every person that's ever been under the teaching of the gospel has reason to say, blessed be the God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that I've been given privilege enough to hear this truth and love. Oh, friend, I pray that you'll come to realize that you were created to bring God glory. Now, let that sink in and ask yourself again, when was the last time I prayed and asked the Lord to help me to bless him? Help me to be the blessing. Help me to be that he would be blessed. Now, again, I take you back to the word. Somebody might say, well, I don't know about being created for the glory of God. Go to Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything in creation was created for this ultimate purpose. If you follow the lineage of humanity from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, 27 and 28, the first blessing God declares on Adam and Eve before sin enters the world is that we would go forth and image him throughout creation. We would be his ambassadors. We would bring him glory by bringing him throughout all of his creation as his primary representatives. What a blessing. You see it again. Sin comes into the world. The flood comes. Noah and the family are told, well, I'm going to save you, and then you're going to go out through the world, and you're going to be my image bearers. Same problem. Humanity crashes and burns. God shows up once again, mercy and grace. Hey, Abraham, you're going to be the one. We crash and burn. Same thing. Cry out. We see our Lord. He comes. Grace and mercy. You see it with Moses. You and I see it throughout the Bible. We see it throughout our lives. And we're seeing it happen right now around the world. The fact that our Lord has not already come and shut this bad boy down and thrown all the sin into the swamp of hell and said, that's it, I'm done. That's his mercy and his grace. Even if you're currently a God hater, you should say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's given me another day to repent and seek restoration. Cry out to this living God. I encourage you. It's why you were created, to bring him glory. Again, you find that difficult, I send you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. God, blessed be the God. I pray you see, biblically speaking, it's clear. This is what we're being told and shown in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Now, I want to ask you, what are you doing with this? Are you saying, well, amen, I bless the Lord every day. I thank him, and I'm living my life for him, and I have to repent because I don't do it perfectly, but I am doing it passionately. Well, if that's you, I say, well done, faithful slave, well done. And I don't mean to convict you if you're not in a place of needing conviction. I could use the conviction. I know I could and should bless the Lord with all that is within me better every day. And that's my heart's desire. I pray it will be yours as well. As again, you see here, blessed be the. Now, this is important because that little word, the, in the Greek, it is a definite article. It means a very specific. Again, it's not a God. It's not gods. It's the God. The intended purpose and the pointing here is to the God of the Bible. It's to the God of verses 1 and 2. It's the God that we've seen and cannot be denied, the one true living God. We know him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one essence, three persons. This is the God, the only God, that deserves capital G. Now, who's getting blessed? Blessed be the God. Well, you can see here, it's him. And in fact, if you go to 2 Corinthians, and if you go to the book of Ephesians, you'll see in both of those, chapter 1, verse 3, just like here, it's what theologians call a blessing formula. It's not just praise be to God. It's not just thanksgiving. It's not just the introduction to the letter. No, this is a strong theological statement, as I pray you're beginning to see. Blessed be, may the one true living God be exalted. May we, those that receive this letter, may we be the ones whose victorious voices lift up for all the world the glory of our God. Blessed be the God. Well, it's not just the God that we see here in Ephesians, 2 Corinthians, or 1 Peter. But we have to acknowledge the fact that we get to sing this praise shows that we too are blessed. The Christian is blessed, not just the God who is to be blessed through the Christian, but the Christian is blessed in that we get to be a blessing to Almighty God. We've been blessed. We know this, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Praise God. That's a blessing. All of the gospel is a blessing to those who receive the Lord. Even those who reject him have been blessed with common grace. Every single human being is blessed. Now, there are different degrees of blessing for sure, but make no mistake, there is a reason why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's because he is worthy, worthy of our praise, our love, our worship. He's worthy to be blessed. Amen. So you see, who is blessed? The God of 1 Peter 1:3. And we who get to bless this God. And so you see, it's God, it's us, and it's God again. And I would argue that you could go on like this forever because every time that you and I bless God, we are being blessed. We are being blessed. You know, it was our Lord who said, it's better to give than to receive. That's true. That's not a cliche. Every time that you get to be a blessing to God himself or anybody else, I pray that you're coming to understand, if you don't already get it, you are being blessed every time you have an opportunity to be a blessing. And the bigger the blessing you are, the bigger the blessing you receive. And I would say, arguably, you cannot have any bigger blessing than the blessing you receive when you are blessing our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, this brings us to the final point. When we look at this passage, blessed be the God, what we see now is not just that this is a statement of fact. It's not just a command. It's not just, oh, I'm supposed to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and do it with all that is within me. No, this is a get-to. This is a get-to that I think deserves a how-to explanation. And so I'd like to finish our time together today. Before I send you out with a closing anthem of praise, I want to show you how. And I want to do it in a few ways. Obviously, it'll be biblically. I want you to see it theologically, and I want you to see it missionally. And again, I point you to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and recognize that all that I'm about to share with you comes directly from God's word and or is a direct application of God's word. Nothing that I'm about to share is coming from some denominational slant or some local version. Or no, you're going to find, and this is the blessing of being one family with one faith and one focus. When you're committed to God and his word, it works. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, when you are, because God and his word are timeless truth in love. Truth in love. So when we take a look at this biblically, let's go. I just want to take you on one journey with Jesus. And again, we could do this hundreds of ways throughout the Bible. But let me just give you one example. I want to connect those dots that I pray will lead you both to your Bible and to a tighter, more committed understanding of the relationship we have as a Bridge family and our supernatural unity. It's called koinonia. But let me first show you how all this comes together. Blessed be the God. How do we bless God? Again, our being blesses God. Let's start by looking at this through the eyes of the Gospel of John. Let's get it directly from Jesus. Go to John 1, verses 1 through 18, and see the portrait of the living God. Jesus is God. He comes as God, and he comes for the purpose of displaying the glory of himself. He is the living God. Go then to John 3, and I encourage you to look at John 3:3, 3:16, and 3:36. See that we're all called, commanded, and in desperate need to be born again. See, not just in verse 3, but in verse 16, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to be truly born again. And then see in verse 36 of chapter 3, that to truly believe in this gospel truth is to obey. And if you don't obey, then the evidence is that you don't believe. And consequently, you don't have life, but the wrath of God abides on you. Now, that's a stark and loving warning to all of those that play church but push away Christ. Those who are comfortable coming into the church but have not yet miraculously come into Christ. Now, continue on. Let's stay in John. Let's go to John 8, and you'll see that it is this truth, verse 32 and 36. It is this truth that sets you free. Amen. And if you've been truly set free by this truth, then you have been freed indeed. You'll never, ever be put in bondage again. You'll struggle, you'll stumble, but you'll never, ever be put back in the bondage that takes souls to hell. Amen. He who has been freed is free indeed on the promises of Almighty God. His name is Jesus. Amen. Go ahead now and walk with me to John 14. And you'll see that if this is truly you, he says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So if this is you, again, the fruit will reveal the root. And if you're faithfully obedient, it will be shown. Now, how does that happen? John 15, only those who abide in Christ will be able to obey. And it's in the obeying that reinforces the abiding. This is what we see over and over and over again. Now go with me to John 17, and here in the high priestly prayer, a prayer, the whole chapter, Jesus praying to God the Father, right? Blessed be the God. God the Son praying to God the Father, and we know it through God the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 4 that he came to bring God glory through fulfilling what God the Father had given him to do. Now just think about that for a minute. God the Son glorifies God the Father in the faithful obedience and completion of what he had been given to do. If Jesus Christ glorifies God, blessed be, glorify, praise God the Father by fulfilling his commission, then I think you and I might want to take a fresh look at John 20:21, where Jesus says for the second time, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Well, friend, if you want to bless God, if you want to bring glory to God, and if the fulfillment of the mission is how God, the Son, glorified God, the Father, then I think you and I, the children of God, have clearly laid out before us that this is the best way for us to glorify God, by fulfilling our mission. Now, if this doesn't bring you to a new perspective, or if it doesn't strengthen and reinforce your existing perspective on faithful obedience, something's wrong. And if putting these things together doesn't lead you to want to pray and say, Lord, help me to walk in a more narrow and Christ-like faithful obedience because I want to bring you glory, blessed be you, the one true living God, help me to be a blessing, then I want to challenge you to take a look inside. Because I promise you, if you've been captured by grace, if you've been miraculously transformed by the living God who died to give you life, you're going to want to bring him glory. You're going to want to bless him. And if you don't, something's wrong. Something's wrong, whether it's a blind spot, a stumble, or the revelation that you've not yet been adopted. Something is horribly wrong if you don't truly want, not just with lip service, but with love and life service. If you don't want to bring God glory, if you don't want to be a blessing to the God who saved your soul, something's wrong. This is at the heart of 1 John 2:6. Those who claim to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked. And now if you're sitting there thinking all of a sudden, I'm not perfect. It's Romans 8:1 that says good news. There's no longer any condemnation in anyone who's truly been saved by grace. So this is a tension that we have, but I pray that you see it and that you want to be it. Now, for those of you who are in the Bridge family, or perhaps are considering joining our Bridge family, let me show this to you in a context and in a vernacular that we've been using as a Bridge family for a long time. And I pray that perhaps now you'll get an understanding as to why. You see, these are not just truths. These are the lights that are to illuminate our path. Psalm 119, it's God's word that is to show us the way. It is God in his word that should guide our heart's desires, our choices, our patterns, our habits, our want-tos. And so with that in mind, let me just point out, and I'll close with some familiar language to our Bridge family. But let me just point out that if you want to be a blessing to the true God of the Bible, how you do this, you be who he's called and created you to be. Now, we see this through relational love. It's a love that first comes down to us from God above. It's his loving grace that saves. We've seen this with our understanding of election and predestination. I'll show it to you in greater depths next week, and we'll unpack Romans 8:28 through 30. But you understand a relational love that comes down from God to God's people. It then goes back up to God from God's people. It's then shared inside the family of God by God's people. And then it's shared relationally out to the world because we are God's people and He wants to adopt more. And we don't know who, so we share His truth and love with everyone. It was Spurgeon who said, "If I knew who God had chosen, who He had elected or predestined, if He would just put a yellow streak up their back, I'd run around town lifting up the back of everybody's shirts, and I would share the gospel with those that I see." But because we don't know, we treat every human being as either a brother and sister in Christ or a potential brother or sister in Christ. That's what we do. It's relational love. Then you see there's a transformational truth that's required. And this is again what brings us back to God's word. We are going to embrace the word, the will, and the ways of God no matter what. This is how we bring glory to God. This is how we bless God, being in head, heart, and hands all that Christ has called and created us to be. That we hold to the truth, we learn the truth, we share the truth, we live out our love. It's not just an emotion, it's a choice, it's an action, it's a commitment. And we do this in the context of hands-on work and warfare, no matter what. We do this as well, understanding that there is a call for the fruitful growth that we see in a Christian's life, that we go from being a lost person to, by God's grace and for His glory, we begin to grow as a lover, a learner, a leader, and then what we call a lifer. That's why those of us that are Christians, we're not just fruitful because we grow, but we go and we help others. That's why we as a church family, and why I encourage you as a believer, when it comes to the lost, engage them. When it comes to the baby lover, explain to them. When it comes to the growing adolescent learner, well, you equip them so that they can grow. And that new budding leader, you empower them to spread their wings. And that lifer who gives us all the inspirational example, well, they are the ones who exemplify this and help to multiply on all levels. Well, we see this as well with a missional passion that goes locally, regionally, and globally. It's to understand what our Lord has said, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, that we are to be His ambassadors, that we've received His Holy Spirit so that we would be His witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. This is at the heart of what it is, to embrace the call, not just to be, but to be a blessing to Almighty God, to bring glory to the God who gave us life, Christian. This is who we are. This is what we get to be. Again, it's a get to. Some might say, well, you know, if it's a command, it's a have to. Well, let me tell you, I have many commands in my life that I thank God for. What a blessing it is to be an ambassador for the King. What a blessing it is to get to be an adopted child of God. What a blessing it is to be a blessing to the living God. Oh, friend, I pray that on this day, that you, like me, may look and see that you've taken someone for granted. And for all the times that we've sought His blessings, I shudder to think how few times I've sought to be His blessing. You know, I've, for a long time, changed my prayer life. Years and years ago, I went from please to starting every prayer with thank you. And I have to tell you, this study, this sermon, this time in 1 Peter, it's challenged me, convicted me. It's not enough that I start my prayers with thank you. This time is going to change me. My prayers will no longer begin with thank you, Lord, but bless you, Lord. Bless you. And then thank you. long before I get to the please. I pray that as you think about this, and again, perhaps you've heard some things that you say, oh, I've heard that before. Well, I want to leave you with an understanding of how you can and should be a blessing to the God who blesses us, how we can be the blessing that we've been called, created, commissioned to be, first vertically and then horizontally. We call this our Bridge Family Manifesto. I want to share it with you in this context, seeing, I pray, perhaps for the first time, why it's so important. If you don't see the bullseye, you'll rarely, if ever, hit the bullseye. It is our desire to bring God glory by finding and growing more glorifiers. Anything less is unacceptable. Not according to our denomination or our local church, but to the Word of God and the Word that is God. His name is Jesus. We need to want to be a blessing to the living God. And for that reason, we make these distinctive promises. We are responding to grace and repenting of sin. We are trusting the Bible and obeying God's word. We are growing in Christ and living Spirit-led. We are praying for guidance and following by faith. We are dying to self and carrying our cross. We are being the church, capital C. We are being the church and loving one another, truly loving one another. We are equipping the saints and exemplifying supernatural unity. We are ministering as ambassadors and discerning matters shrewdly. We are worshiping God vertically and experiencing Him horizontally. We are proclaiming the gospel no matter what. And we're fishing for men. We're making discipled warriors and winning spiritual warfare. Ultimately, we are loving our King and serving His kingdom. Amen and amen. Friend, I pray that wherever you are today, if you're in our Bridge family, I pray this encourages you, equips you, draws you to that place of exhortation. May this be, yes, a warning, but may it be wrapped in encouragement. May this get to that want to part of your heart that says, thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, may you be glorified in and through me and us, our family. Lord, may we have a deep, deep desire, a reservoir of passion running for your glory and not being satisfied with something that is superficial, but let it be supernatural. Let it not just be local, but let it be global. And let it not just be global, but let it be regional and local. Lord, do what only you can do in and through us, that we may be able to do for you that which brings you glory. Let us be those that will bless you. Blessed be you, our living and loving God. May this be our deepest heart's desire. May we be in awe of you in a way that turns into action and attitude. May we be the people, the children, the family of God who are known for our awe of you, our actions and our attitude for you. May we be those who arrest the attention of a dark and dying world as we stand in the tension of your holy truth in love. May we have the humility and the gentleness that will break the hardest of hearts while standing firm with steel in our spine in a culture that is fighting against you on every level. Oh Lord, give us the both and that brings you glory. Blessed be our God, our living, loving God. May we be, by your grace, those who are known for bringing you glory. Oh Lord, I pray that each one on whatever continent they find themselves right now, may each one within the sound of my voice hear you through the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, I pray that your truth in love will not only bring conviction, but Lord, I pray for justification, sanctification, ultimate salvation that will end with glorification one day because today they humbled themselves. They sought not to bring themselves glory, but you glory. They heard your love and they surrendered their hearts. Oh Lord, may it be true more and more every day for all of us that are in the sanctification blessing. And Lord, may that family grow more and more as there are some that come through the blessed door of justification as they surrender to victory in Jesus the Christ. Oh Lord, let us settle for nothing less, no matter what. It's in Jesus' name we pray and praise. Amen and amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, 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 oh. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
sing like never before. Oh. worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like worship your holy name. Bless you, time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy. Worship your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. Jesus, I will worship your holy name. Worship your